Welcome to the first episode of Some Scribe, the podcast series. The first episode is Mrs. Town, Brad Goes to Jail. And it's a little out of order, if I'm to be honest. Mrs. Town is actually a character I created several years ago. It was a Christmas play originally. I'll leave a link in the description. I hope to share that with you on to this podcast. However, I do plan to make a slight revisions. More on that later. Essentially, she's a no-nonsense grandmother. She's based upon several women in my life, and I hope you enjoy.
Bradley Town, you've got a visitor. The deputy barked at the teenage boy slumped over in the corner of his cell. Oh, great, Brad thought. Now the pain really begins. Brad pressed his hand onto his face and forced his eyes closed. He didn't need to see her. Not with the look of disappointment she was about to give him. That, he could do without. With his eyes still closed, he could hear the click-clunk sound of high-heel shoes marching into the room. He felt he could almost hear the frown on her face, if that was possible. What was possible was the gasp that echoed down the corridor, along with his name being uttered once again. Bradley, his grandmother yelled. Hey, Grandma. So, how's your day going? Brad said with a nervous smile. 12 hours earlier. What are you, scared? Alex teased. The group of boys around them erupted with laughter. Brad puffed out his chest and hopped down from the hood of the car to meet Alex's challenge. I don't do scared. That's kids' stuff. Big talk. Let's see you back that up, Alex replied, as the small crowd of boys oohed at the dare. Brad wasn't 100% confident about this, but he'd never let that show. Not in front of his friends. Well, they were mostly his friends. Alex was new. A cousin of somebody or something like that. Brad didn't remember who. Up until this moment, Brad was the unspoken and undisputed leader of the group, a position he quite enjoyed. Normally it was Brad that would make the dares and lead the group into something fun, although sometimes there were unintended consequences. Usually this involved a conversation with his father's belt. Still, he was up for almost anything. Except, I'm not scared, but this is just stupid. You want to break into someone's house? Are you insane? Alex said as he shook his head with a laugh. Relax, bro. It's just for fun. Nobody's even going to be there. Oh, Alex said as he leaned in closer. I didn't mention this, but it's a mansion. What do you mean, it's a mansion? Brad was still skeptical, but now a lot more intrigued. What do I mean? It's a mansion. Like, a really, really big house. It's empty tonight, so we are going over. Cool? Brad thought it over, but he knew that it would be breaking and entering. A crime, punishable with jail sentences. And if they weren't caught, then they could be shot on sight. This was not a good plan. This wasn't really a plan to begin with. This was a really bad idea. All of that was what Brad should have said. Instead, a mansion? Think they have a pool? 20 minutes later, the group arrived outside the gate of the Galloway estate. According to Alex, the mansion was owned by some rich elderly couple who took off on a cruise to the Caribbean sometime yesterday. They would be gone for about 3 weeks. Apparently, they dismissed the staff out of kindness of their heart for the duration of their vacation. This meant that the estate, for the first time in who knows how long, was vacant. It was the perfect time for a discreet and unauthorized tour of the place. Sane? Brad snapped, noting the broken glass from the window that Alex had just punched through. And how else did you think we were going to get in? This isn't the suburbs, Brad. They don't leave a key under the mat, Alex derided. He then proceeded to use his cloth-covered hand to reach in and unlock the front door. Brad could tell the boys were impressed. That's right. Tony, one of the boys in the back, whispered. Places like these are more secure than that. Brad smacked him on the shoulder. Shut up, Tony. Whose side are you on? The side that's telling you not to let pride make you act stupid. Brad pushed Tony's comment aside. What did he know anyway? In any case, Alex was already in the house. Brad had missed his shot at being first. He knew he would have to do something to get back on top, something that even Alex wouldn't dare to do. "Wow," was all that Brad could muster. He had never been inside a mansion. It was huge. A large crystal chandelier hung from the ceiling, lights dancing along the spiral staircase that ascended beyond Brad's view. A few of the boys high-fived and moved in and spread throughout the house. They called out to one another when they found something interesting, an Easter egg hunt that Brad could get used to. "Found the TV," one of the boys shouted. "And not only that, but it's the whole wall." Brad was on his way to see if the screen could match the hype when he stumbled across an open room. He would have run right past it if not for the slight glimmer that caught his eye. Whatever this room was, it was so big that it needed twin doors. "Hey, Brad, you coming?" Tony called out. Brad didn't hear it, though. He was caught up staring at the shiny red Corvette he just discovered. A Corvette? Seriously? This guy or whoever owned this place had a car inside his house, like it was some sort of museum. The velvet rope said as much. Everything about this room screamed, "Do not touch. Eyes only." But yet again, Brad didn't hear. Mere seconds later, he found himself behind the wheel. He guessed there was no point locking up when you park two doors down from your own living room. Which also means there wouldn't be a reason to. "Ooh, please, please." Brad moved his hand under the seat and then into the glove box. Maybe he had hoped for too much. That's when he felt it, right in between the roof and the driver's side mirror. "Yes!" Brad cried out. He held the keys up in triumph. Before he could complete his fantasy, he had caught a glimpse of someone approaching from behind. According to the rearview mirror, Tony would be the first to see Brad's score. "Whoa! Unreal! Look at this thing! It's got to be worth at least 50 grand! Wait, Brad, what are you doing?" With his arm hanging out of the window, Brad gave Tony a cocky smirk. "What does it look like I'm doing? I'm going to take her for a spin." "You're not serious." However, as Brad inserted the keys into the ignition and turned them, Tony realized just how serious Brad was. The engine sputtered and then came to life. Brad revved up the engine and felt as if he had commanded the storm itself. It must have sounded like an explosion in the quiet mansion. Within moments, all of the boys had converged in the room, where an all-too-proud Bradley Town was waiting behind the wheel of his prize. Alex was the last to arrive. Brad made a quick study of his face to see it, the look of concession. If this was a contest, then Brad had just won, and they both knew it. Then, just as Brad thought he had won back his alpha status, it was in question yet again. "So now that you're in the driver's seat, what are you going to do?" Alex goaded. He folded his arms and glared at Brad. It was a glare that dared Brad to take things to the next level. Unbelievable. Would this kid not accept defeat? The boys huddled around the car, sharing glances between each other about whose side they would take. They wouldn't have long to decide, though, because Brad raised his eyebrow and merely uttered, "Get in." "Oh, yeah," one of the boys exclaimed as the doors popped open. It was a tight squeeze, but Tony managed to inch closer to Brad. "Hey, stupid. Don't do this," Tony warned. "Too late for that now. Buckle up." "I can't. This thing wasn't made for six." "Well then, don't. Now where are we going?" Brad asked the group. "Nowhere. We're in someone's house. We couldn't. Hey, is this guy your mom or what?" Alex said, looking a little aggravated. "If you aren't man enough, just give me the keys. I'll make something happen." "You wish." Brad's foot touched the gas pedal, and the Corvette powered forward into the twin doors. The wooden frames burst into fragments. Brad slowed to a snail's pace and turned into the mansion's hallways. Remarkably, the doors in the hallway were just wide enough for the Corvette to ease through. The boys laughed and cheered. A few of them even pat Brad on the back. "Come on, Brad, open her up." Hallway after hallway, the boys were amazed at just how much ground they were covering. They must have gone the equivalent of two blocks by now. With every turn, Brad grew more confident. Sure, there were a few broken flower pots, and maybe a painting or two bit the dust, but the car was amazing. This was amazing, and nothing could take away from this moment. A light erupted onto Brad's face. nearly found himself crashing into a wall. With lightning-quick reflexes, Brad slammed on the brakes. Once the car had settled, Brad looked up and the color faded from his face. The light that had almost blinded him came from a flashlight. Attached to said flashlight was a man dressed in dark clothing. This was jarring enough, but it was a shiny metal attached to his chest that got the boy's attention. "Cop!" someone whispered. "Get out of the vehicle now," the man commanded. A slap came across the back of Brad's neck. "What are you waiting for? Drive!" screamed Alex. As Brad's hands gripped the shift, Tony gripped his arm. "Are you crazy? That's a cop." "I know, I know. What am I supposed to do?" Brad stammered, trying not to panic. "You're supposed to do what he says," Tony shouted. "No," Alex interjected. "You want to go to jail? This is all gonna fall on you, you idiot. Move the car." Before any of them could register it, the officer had run up to the car. His flashlight still beamed at Brad's face, but this time, his gun was at the ready. "I said, out of the—" Brad did not let him finish. He slammed the car into reverse and pressed down on the gas, hard. The Corvette flew backward, and with some measure of grace, Brad was able to only hit a few of the walls as they went careening down the hallway. The officer screamed for them to stop, or he might have. Brad couldn't really hear anything. Everything seemed to move in slow motion. There was no sound. There was barely a visual. The boys screamed. Tony's hand dug into Brad's shoulder. Perhaps he still wanted him to pull over, which was exactly the opposite of what Alex wanted. He could feel a hand punching him from behind, but whatever that meant, he couldn't be certain. As Brad rounded another corner, he managed to obliterate a door in the process and swerve around the second police officer who stepped out from one of the other rooms. Correction, there were now three police officers. It became all too clear that if they were going to make their escape, they would have to ditch the car. Some of the group caught on before the rest. Brad slammed on the brakes once again as several of the boys, Alex included, bolted from the back seat. Brad and Tony were left dumbfounded as the police officers rushed to their position. Since the others went one way with the police about to follow suit, it was easy to tell them that the pair of them should go in the opposite direction. He yanked on Tony's shirt to indicate as much. Although hesitant, Tony followed. There was no rhyme or reason to where Brad and Tony went, just as long as it was out of this house. Door after door, they continued on, hearing the shouts of their friends off in the distance.
"Stop! Stop right now!"
The pounding of uniformed steps trailed behind them. Off in the distance, Brad made out another door. But this wasn't just any door. This was the door. The one that led outside. They were going to make it. Brad pulled Tony's arm and pointed ahead to their salvation. The pair picked up the pace, keeping just out of reach of the officer who had followed them. "Come on, Tony. Just keep up," Brad encouraged. Brad was amazed they were able to pull ahead even further, jumping and climbing over pieces of furniture, vaulting over fallen chairs. He had it all mapped out. He and Tony would go for the car parked out front. They had just enough time before the police officers even came close to exiting the building. He wasn't sure how the others would fare, but at this point, their fates were out of his hands. That had been the plan. But when they reached the entrance, they were met with a chorus of blinding lights. White, blue, and red. Present. It had been a long night, and all Brad wanted more than anything was for this all to be over. After his arrest, Brad learned that no one had escaped, although Alex was conveniently absent throughout most of the process. They weren't allowed to speak to one another, but they could see each other through the glass. Brad figured they all had the same question he did. At the top of the list was what would happen to them. How bad really was the situation they were in? And least of all, what had they done with Alex? The only thing that gave Brad any kind of peace was that his parents were out of town, having left him with his sister to stay at their grandmother's. He wasn't thrilled about waking her up. With his one phone call, but at least it wouldn't be his father. He could postpone that wrath for a later date. When Brad's grandmother arrived, she made nice with the officers. She must have had some kind of pull with this place because they're allowing him to go home. Go Nana, Brad said to himself. He allowed himself a smile, which dissipated when it came in contact with his grandmother's glare. Uh-oh, this may have been a mistake, Brad thought as he stopped right before his grandmother's car. Grandma, are you okay to drive? You think I should? With the driver's side door still open, Mrs. Towne froze in place before a bewildered look took hold of her face. Are you serious right now? Get your butt in the car. Brad didn't wait to be told twice. Brad and his grandmother drove without a word for about 5 minutes until she broke the silence. Are you okay? Well, yeah, Grandma. I'm fine. Honestly, things didn't get that bad. Things just got a little crazy is all. Oh, you think? Brad, you broke into someone's home. You damaged their property. And you stole a car. But we didn't even leave the house. Ugh, this is all Alex's fault. I don't know how he got away, but this was all his idea in the first place, Brad exclaimed. Brad was so pleased by his rock-solid defense that he didn't even register his grandmother's slap across the back of his head until it was too late. Ow! What was that for? For being a little fool. What did you have to gain from all this? His grandmother pleaded. Grandma, I had to. Alex is this new kid and he was trying to take over. The guys were going to follow him anyway to the mansion, so I just had to step up. Sounds like you let your foolish pride make a fool out of you. No, that's not what... The police questioned you about what happened and you didn't tell them any of this, she cut in. Grandma, you don't understand. Friends stick together. I can't be no snitch. Let me get this straight. You can't be no snitch, but you have no problem being a trespasser, a liar, a thief, and a sucker? What is that supposed to mean? Brad grumbled. Well, your friends don't seem to have the same code of honor that you have, because they had no trouble putting the blame on you. She noted Brad's pale face before she continued. Yes, that's right, darling. The boys said that it was your idea to take the car, and your idea to run from the cops. They said all that? Yes. Well, except Tony. He's a sweet kid, but he needs to learn not to follow the crowd all the time, just like you need to gain some wisdom. Why am I being singled out? I told you it was Alex's idea to break into that mansion. He didn't break in. He lives there. For some reason, his parents, who are insanely rich, thought that he might mature enough to house-sit by himself. Obviously, he has some issues to work out. But that doesn't make any sense. Why would he get a group of us to break into his own home? Does that really matter? The point is the enemy set a trap for you and you walked right into it. You can't be the man that God wants you to be if you have the desire to impress liars and cowards. This could have been much worse. Brad, way worse. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What? Oh, are you quoting? Incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs. Do you think this will go on my record? I hope it does. Grandma. What? You need a reminder of your idiot behavior so you won't repeat it, Brad's grandmother chided. At least Dad's not home. Otherwise, I'd be scared. I was going to get a whooping. Ah, what makes you think you're not? You scared of your dad's whooping skills? Where do you think he learned it from?
What now?
And that will do it for our first episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll get back to Miss Towne and her family at later episodes. If you liked it, please send a review or send a comment. I would greatly appreciate it. This is Summer Scribe with Summer Scribe Podcast. Thank you and God bless.